Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There is a new study that finds a connection between COVID and type 2 diabetes in young people. Let's check in with Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. Dr. Marty, good morning. We keep learning more about different effects of COVID, don't we?
Yeah, this is very unfortunate. And it's actually not something that is completely a surprise. This is a very good study done in Ohio, right, at Case Western, that looked at 613,602 patients aged 10 to 19 years. So definitely we're talking about young people. And they absolutely were able to demonstrate that children who got SARS-CoV-2 infection within 6 months, and usually within 3 months, would have new diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Now, of course, the percentage of kids that got this was low, actually, so don't think every kid's going to end up with this. It's a very small percentage, but it's a much higher percentage than children who got other respiratory infections. So if you had other respiratory infections, you really didn't have this increased risk that we have with this. And by the way, this is not the first study that confirms this. It was a Canadian study last year, Bob, that was sort of a meta-analysis. So it looked at a bunch of different works in children and had already noted that there was an increase in risk for type 2 diabetes in these kids. And then the real question is, why does it happen? And it has to do with studies even done back in 2022 that describe all the metabolic changes that happen in our bodies when we're infected with this SARS-CoV-2. This virus leads to what's called metabolic stress. And there's a dysregulation of a number of different biochemical processes, including the fact that that spike likes to affect the ACE2 receptor, which is part of a very important biochemical process that has to do with regulating our blood pressure, but also is important for glucose metabolism. So the very target that this virus has a direct impact on this. And then if you look at the study that you're talking about today, of course that children who were already, say, obese and therefore sort of on the edge, what this virus does is it pushes them beyond that edge, and so they end up with this very unfortunate diagnosis that isn't just, think about it, these are kids, so they have a long life ahead of them, and so this is going to impact that long life for a very long time, and so,
I mean, since COVID has only been around less than 5 years, do you think that there will be many more studies revealing things that that surprise us about the effects of COVID?
Well, absolutely. We'll keep looking at it, and like all horrible things. It's a horrible thing, but you can always find, because you start looking at something and detailing something, spin-offs that can be useful for a lot of different medical results that are good. For example, HIV is a horrible thing, but it's led to enormous discoveries in medicine that have been useful for diseases that are in no way directly related to HIV.
Let me get in a couple of listener questions. I got a COVID vaccine in mid-August before traveling overseas. Should I now get the new vaccine?
So mid-August, and we're in October. They need to wait for about 3 months after that vaccine that they got in August, so as to maximize the value. And that's actually coming up soon, and that's great because if they get a new vaccine just before Thanksgiving, that's really going to reduce their risk at those times where, you know, we congregate together and it's winter and you have a higher risk of transmission.
This is a good question. Bob, I have some friends who say that since overall numbers of infections are no worse than the flu, they would rather take their chances with getting COVID than get vaccinated. Can you ask Dr. Marty, what can I say to them, and can we get to herd immunity without them?
Okay, so that's a very interesting question. It has a lot of meat inside of it. So let me sort of break it down a little bit. Sure, we can achieve herd immunity, you know, without widespread vaccination, but it's a very costly process in terms of illness, death, and long-term consequences. Because, yes, natural infection can lead to herd immunity, because herd immunity only requires about 75 to 85% of the population to be immune. But you're going to have more severe illness, more hospitalizations, more death, and more long COVID with long-term consequences. And as a, you know, a public health expert, I would say that's deeply irresponsible for them personally and for society as a whole. So the truth is, the vaccine is safer. It gives you more reliable immunity. We've made amazing modifications to the mRNA vaccines that reduce its risk of causing anything compared to the wild spike. So, you know, for example, they put N1 methyl pseudouridine. This is what Katie Carrico got the Nobel Prize for, to reduce that inflammatory response. They stabilize the messenger RNA in a particular way by changing the nucleic acid sequence so that there were these two prolines that stabilize it so that the immune system sees the spike at the very ideal shape for making the best neutralizing antibodies. And that doesn't, you know, I mean, you're going to make some of those that are natural infection, but you're also going to make useless antibodies that can actually do cause more harm than good. So it's really not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And the other ways in which we altered the structure is we optimized something called the COSAC sequence at the beginning. So you have more efficient translation, so you make more of this high-quality antibody yielding type of protein for the spike than you would had we not optimized that sequence. So these differences in what's in the vaccine, which cannot give you COVID, okay, because it just doesn't do it, right? It's simply alerting the immune system to what it has to do to not end up with all these bad repercussions that you can get from getting the disease. And yes, right now, you know, his friends are correct that because there is so much immunity in the population, when there's a new instance of SARS-CoV-2, the odds of having the horrible outcomes that we saw in the beginning are less, right? But it's the reason is that people have immunity,
right?
And it's not, you know, if they didn't have immunity, then the risks are even higher. So if someone, especially if you're talking about children who, you know, who haven't had a SARS-CoV-2 infection yet, you want to get those kids vaccinated so they're ready for it ahead of time.
Dr. Eileen Marty, thanks for making us smarter. I'm nominating you for a Nobel Prize next year. Talk to you. Have a good day.